This is Frank Summers with Artima Developer. The following interview was recorded at JavaOne 2007.
I'm sitting here with Mike Hoskins, who is Chief Technology Officer of Pervasive. Mike, what does Pervasive do?
Thank you, Frank. Pervasive software is kind of a coming out party for us here at JavaOne. We've not been here before, but we have a very long history as a software company. We just crossed our 25-year anniversary this year. And we do a lot of data infrastructure products, so data integration, data movement, databases. We know a lot about data. And one of the interesting things for us at Pervasive about 5 years ago is we saw a very large problem looming out there, and that is what I might call the data avalanche. Everybody's wrestling with more and more and more and more data. And it's a big problem because users want you to crunch that data in smaller and smaller and smaller time windows. And we had to look hard for how you solve that. We kind of arrived at the same place everybody did, which is that parallelism, divide and conquer, is the way to solve it. But the world wasn't really ready for that 5 years ago. Parallelism was the province of very specialist, esoteric programmers and programs, and we thought there could be a better way. Looking out over the landscape, the hardware guys kind of get it, and they're riding into the rescue. The hardware CPU microprocessor industry, the CTO of Intel the other day, said it's going through its largest transition ever since its introduction. As we go away from Moore's Law, where the software enjoyed the benefit of an automatic speed up in hardware CPUs, every 18 months a doubling for the last 35, those days are over. But they've come up with another innovation, and that is multi-core technology. So the good news for all of us in the software industry is that the hardware guys have delivered. They've got platforms out there, and we're just at the beginning stages of this, you know, AMD, Intel, quad cores, but there's no end. I saw the CEO of Intel wave around Silicon the other day and said, I'm going to deliver 90 cores, you know, by 2009. And we're looking at decades now where the CPUs are not going to get faster, they're going to get wider. So we're looking at a world of thousands of cores maybe one day, certainly thousands of threads. But you know what, Frank, there's a gotcha there. The hardware guys have stepped up with what I call hyper-parallelism, and the software industry hasn't. We're in a bit of a software crisis because we have to develop applications that can scale for these kinds of platforms, but they aren't out there today. And the industry of programmers, Java programmers, all of them, have grown up in a world of serial programming and serial threading, and the transition to parallel is going to be really hard. So we're at a crossroads.
So what's the solution?
Well, at Pervasive, we think the solution is a product that we're rolling out right here. So we've been working on it about 5 or 6 years. It's called Data Rush. We have a microsite we created for it called pervasivedatarush.com, so people can go look at it. We launched it on the world as a horizontal framework in December as a beta product, so you can go to the website. It's all free. Download it, play with it, try it. And the idea is, and this is for the Java audience because we picked Java as the language to do this in, we have a 100% pure Java framework. Doesn't require any specialties, no special JVM. You enjoy single address space, you know, the common memory, the easy developer productivity that we're all used to. And you can use our framework to develop your data-intensive applications and enjoy the full fruit of multi-core power without understanding necessarily the complexities of concurrent programming.
How does that work?
So it's a good question because that goes to the real heart of what Data Rush is. So why do people adopt frameworks? You know, why is J2 EE popular? You know, people could learn every low-level transaction control, but they don't. They want to delegate certain things to a framework. And we took exactly the same approach. So people who worry about parallel programming have to worry about things like thread management and memory management and queuing and the, you know, nightmare of deadlocks. And so we thought we could capture in a framework the knowledge of how to distribute workloads by our engine and our framework automatically across multiple cores and threads as they become available and hide that to the user. And we do that by delivering a framework that is entirely component-based, where either you build components or you use the components that are already in our library, and there's already 50-plus components out there. And these components give you a view of the world that's fairly simple, so the standard Java developer can walk in and say, oh, I want to obviously read some data from a source. I want to maybe join it, aggregate it. I want to do heavy transformations, validations. I understand that. And they reach into our library for the building blocks, the readers, the various operators, the writers, and stitch together, maybe with some custom operators they write themselves, stitch together an application. It goes through the magic of our compiler, and we produce what we call a data flow graph under the covers that then does the highly parallel application.
When you say data flow, can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. Data flow means that a directed graph is produced by our compiler automatically for the user. Dataflow technology, for those of you who are interested, has been around for decades. It's one of the popular ways to produce data-intensive applications when you want to employ parallelism. And so we looked and did a lot of research of how we might do it and decided that Dataflow was a highly efficient way to do data-intensive programming. And so we implemented Dataflow principles, con process network, extensions to Dataflow principles. And that's the part of the patented magic that's inside the Dataflow engine. And so the user doesn't have to be aware of that, but underneath the covers, we enjoy the pipeline parallelism, for example, that's inherent in all Dataflow engines. And so think of it this way. Think of a visual environment where you are building a flow from left to right. Your flow consists of a series of steps. We call them operators. There could be low-level atomic operators that you build for discrete operations. There could be high-level composite operators, and our component framework allows you to create assemblies. That's the name we give to the high-level composite operators. And so you're able to stitch together a series of operators that operate on the data as it's flowing through the pipeline, and that pipeline parallelism is something that we and everybody benefits from who uses Dataflow technology. There's more parallelism in there, but that's the obvious one that we get just by using Dataflow.
To what extent can parallelism be automated and completely outsourced to your technology? And to what extent would a developer have to still be aware of parallelism when programming?
So that's a really good question. Let me approach it from the point of view of what does your data look like, because it introduces the maximum parallelism that we think we can automatically produce for you for certain kinds of data-intensive applications. So I think the way to imagine the data that we can crunch well, think of row set data, think of traditional structured data. Now, structured data can be pretty loose. It could be web logs, which is a kind of structured data. It could be flat files. It could be EDI and HIPAA claims transactions. It could be proprietary COBOL layouts that are fixed length with multiple record types. It could be straightforward CSVs. It could be XML. And, of course, it could be JDBC because databases are, of course, big owners of row set data. If you've got the kind of data that looks like, you know, rows and columns, records and fields, then I think we can crunch it. And here's what we do, basically. There's no mystery in how you might solve it. The good news is we've already solved it. But we further implement two kinds of partitioning in addition to the pipeline parallelism that someone would enjoy. And that is horizontal partitioning and vertical partitioning. And so the operators that we have written already are highly parallelized internally. The user doesn't need to know that. But they dispatch the actual workload on multiple threads that it can calculate at runtime. Horizontal partitioning is pretty traditional. Imagine a round-robin partitioner. So as we're reading data, we can partition and start to consume multiple threads and multiple cores, as many as you give us. The real breakthrough, though, comes with our third leg of parallelism, and that is vertical partitioning. Imagine you could bring in a large transaction or a large row or a large EDI retail message, and you could decompose it into its individual field elements, its column fragments. And you could, provided there are no data dependencies, you could launch those autonomously in the directed data flow graph. So even though you see the problem as reading in a million rows and processing certain operations, maybe many operations on multiple columns, we actually fracture the data, enjoy pipeline parallelism, round-robin horizontal partitioning, and even vertical partitioning so that you get maximum use of all the cores. And that means you'd have to have certain kinds of data to answer your question, and you'd have to know some things about the data and about your own data to really be able to exploit data rush. I think if there is data that isn't very structured, it may not be that appropriate. I think if your operations involve huge amounts of dependencies, then it's hard for any kind of parallelism to work. But there's an awful lot of data that's fairly simple out there, and if we could just let you worry about your business logic and let us worry about the complexities of sharing that workload across all the cores and the threads. And of course, this means when you upgrade your machine, it instantly runs faster because we will exploit the more cores and the more cores and the more cores. Then you can worry about the problem you have, and we'll distribute the workload across the hardware as you expand.
Thank you very much.